everybody. What's up? Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show
with guest host Ryan Lee.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Who is this Dr. Duray?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Mom, it's the best rap album that will ever be.
Today's guests, Pac-12 Network analyst Yogi Roth, Kansas head coach Lance Leopold, columnist for the MMQB, Andrew Brandt, plus from Prime Video's Samaritan, actor Javon Walton. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Ryan Leaf.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. I am your guest host for the rest of the week. My name's Ryan Leaf.
Hey!
I've been here before. I am alongside some of the greatest people in the entire world. I don't know if they get enough credit when Rich is in this chair.
Somewhere?
Yeah. Right, you know? To my right, TJ Jefferson, Mike Del Tufo,
what up, though?
Chris Brockman.
Hooty-hoo!
This is a crew. I've been looking forward to this for a while now, guys.
It's been a while, man.
It's been a while.
Yeah, draft, right? Draft.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, when Rich was gone at the draft, and now he was in Canton last week. He is vacationing, I'm assuming, the rest of this week.
And we don't know where he is.
Like Nantucket or...
undisclosed location.
Right? Really could be anywhere.
He goes to Italy for a month, and then, you know...
You know what's hilarious? And I pointed this out this morning, and I'm sure this will get back to him in some sort of fashion, TJ, that we're hating. But, he has been on vacay now for a couple of days. No Instagram posts. No Instagram stories. Do you think because we gave him such a hard time post-Italy that he's not going to post at all this week as kind of a one-ups? Like, see, I can go on vacation and not post.
Well, what do you want, though? Like, you were the you led the charge about him posting from Italy. And
I don't
how
need
much
to
you
see every meal you
and
eat.
And now, Ryan, he's not
that's
posting.
What it is.
And Chris is mad about him not posting.
I'm not mad about him not posting. I'm just...
He's just pointing out an observation.
Yeah, but like, you know.
We like the middle ground. We want middle ground.
I'm making an observation.
It's like, the man's damned if he does and damned if he don't.
There comes a point when it comes to Instagram that the self-importance, it hits a precipice, right? Like, oh, look at the noodles in my pasta in Italy today. Everybody should see this. Everybody needs to see this. I think people need to see what pasta I'm eating today.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. Anna at home has said before when I've gone too far with Instagram, like, why do you care that somebody sees this part of your life that you're supposed to be enjoying? It is the question. If the tree falls in the forest and you're not there to hear it, does it make a sound?
Right.
Right? Maybe.
Right. If Rich has an ice cream cone in Nantucket, and does it actually taste like chocolate?
Or
if he doesn't post about it, you know what I mean?
Strawberry. Or if he's wearing his red Nantucket sweater, if he doesn't have that on.
Right.
The hat.
Does it matter?
The hat still matter over there?
Well, he left the hat here for you, Ryan.
Wait, did he leave the hat here?
Yeah, right there. Oh, Ryan.
Oh, no!
You should literally wear this the whole show.
Oh, the rakish leaf.
Rich is so mad.
He's got a pretty big head. It's falling on my ears.
He's so mad. That is amazing. That,
we will be using that picture.
Phenomenal.
That is amazing, Ryan.
I told him to leave the hat here. So
I can't breathe.
All right, everybody. I'm Ryan Lee filling in for Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen Show. You can call in. I'd love to get some calls in today because we're going to dig deep into, you know, NFL training camps. I mean, the conversation. Andrew Brandt is going to join us today. He has been spot on with everything he's had to say around the Deshaun Watson legal battle. I want to talk to more of him about the contract aspect of things because he did. He got the best contract ever. And he was coming into it with all these allegations. Who is his agent? It's Athletes First is his agent. And the leverage, how did he have any leverage? I want to talk to Andrew about that because it's still dumbfounded. We talked about Yogi Roth going to join us. He has a new book called Five Star Quarterback. And he's been working with Elite 11 for years and years and years alongside his work with the Pac-12 Network. And he's seen all these kids grow and grow and become stud quarterbacks in college football. So I think this book is pretty great. We'll have him on, as well as Lance Leipold, new head coach. Well, not new. He's been there for 1 year, but head coach for the Kansas Jayhawks football team. I really, really believe in this guy. I had a chance to call a few of his games last year. I think this is a good opportunity for him to talk to the nation here, you know, on a national radio show and TV show and talk about what his team is trying to accomplish, because it's a battle at Kansas when you got the best basketball program in college basketball
right.
sitting there, and on the football side of things, you aren't able to really compete. Why do you take that job? How do you turn it around and make it something special? I think they got the right guy for the job there. He's going to join us a little bit later. I talked about Andrew Brandt joining us, and then Javon Walton, right? Any of you Euphoria fans out there, his character Ashtray is probably one of the best characters on that show. And he just did a new movie with Sylvester Stallone called Samaritan that's coming out on Prime Video later this month. And I got a chance to watch it last night. I like being the host of a show and getting sneak peeks
yes,
of things. Right?
Screeners.
Right? Yeah. And you're able to go on your Apple TV and download the app and watch it right on your TV. Like,
bam.
Yeah. Get a little code to watch Sly Stallone run around as a superhero
it.
In it. So
love it.
Yeah. That's your show today. All right. Excited to be here. It's been a crazy, crazy off season for me. You guys, of course, close to me know my family and I are going to be moving to Connecticut.
Hey, now. That's awesome.
Yeah. Congrats.
And for work. And it is really exciting, yet daunting. The moving truck came yesterday or on Sunday and loaded up about 3/4 of the house. And just that process. We'll get into this a little. The moving process, the moving business is a giant scam. It's a giant scam.
How so?
I don't think you know, the moving company that worked with us on Sunday knew I was going to be hosting the national radio show this week, but...
They paced themselves.
Alas.
They paced themselves.
This is where we're at. All right. We're moving to Connecticut.
You might want to wait until your stuff gets delivered before we smirch
you. Don't think I just thought about that before I named the movie company there?
Yeah, I wouldn't name them. As your attorney, I advise against naming them.
I did not want to or need to do that at this point. But let's just say it's a, kind of a grimy business. Let's just put it that way, right? There's brokers everywhere. Never mind. I don't want to get into it yet. Moving to Connecticut, right? We wanted a house for the kid to grow up in, like I did growing up, where I had a backyard, right? Not that we don't love Los Angeles.
Of course.
It's we don't have the wherewithal to put in a, you know, in-ground pool like Mr. Brockman here.
Right.
Yeah.
Baller.
I did that.
And he knows what he has in Cage Brockman. He knows he's got a golfer on his hand that's going to make, you know, live type of money before we know it.
Oh, Cage is already on the live tour. He's already the live fielding tour. Offers.
Baby live tour.
So it's got a backyard. It's got a little half court basketball court and a little batting cage. So if the kid wants to play sports, looked at like a house as a party house for sports, this is a party house.
I mean, let's be honest. MacGyver Leaf has no choice. He's already 6'7".
Yeah, and like 4 years old.
He's already top 10 rivals basketball for the class of what, like 2038?
Well, we're gonna hold him back. He's right on that fringe, right? October 5th is his birthday.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Either be 17 your entire senior year or 18.
18, about to be 19.
And we're gonna do, I think, the 18.
I think
route.
That's smart.
I was 17 my entire senior year.
So was I.
Me too.
And I think I was mature physically enough. Maybe not. I mean, I grew a ton when I got to college that first year, right? So we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. So these are huge parental decisions you have to make, of course, as a parent.
I think my mom just wanted me out the crib. She was like, is this 17? All right,
you got to go.
Well, I was the oldest of three boys, so she was kind of like, yeah. You know, I got a few years. I got 9 more years before the other one's out. He wants to stick around for 1 more year, maybe. So, that's the big news in our family, right?
Love it.
We're, but Rich Eisen fans out there and the Rich Eisen show fans, let Rich know, you know, as I will. He rarely texts me back anymore because he's gallivanting around the...
always on vacation.
Around the world.
Must be
home. But if you need me to host a show, I'll just fly back. It's not a big deal. You know, Newark to L.A., is nonstop.
Yeah, 5.5 hours.
Yeah, nothing. Be right here in the seat when he needs me. Or
so you're saying even though you're leaving, you don't want to give up your spot here?
No, I'm the reliever, right? I'm the right hand he goes to. So yeah, I want to continue to do that. Though Ben Lyons sure gets a lot of play. What's up with that? I love me some Ben Lyons.
He's like a summer like reprieve. You know
he's
kind of
like a summer vacation.
Yeah, he's like the summer vacation vibes.
Talk some movies.
Yeah, movies, a little pop culture. He loves Kanye.
You gotta like, have a lefty and a righty in the ballpark. Yeah. I mean,
that's true, Mike. You need to have both arms.
I just always wonder if there's beef because every time the one of them's here, the other one's like, yeah. Ryan Leaf or Ben Lyons. Yeah. Yeah. Right. We love you both, like, guys. You know,
you guys should be having fun in the bullpen waiting to get called.
It's like, there's no need for you guys to beef with each other.
We don't beef. I play golf with him quite a bit.
I know.
I will say this. Okay, I'll be the one that comes back in the other direction here. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I am so grateful for this opportunity, as always. But I will, if need be, fly back and do the show. Also, you know, our sister family, the Dan Patrick Show, is now literally 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, so they're going to steal you from us.
So if Dan needs a day off, right? You know, now he's got somebody who's got...
Well, you're going to have to fight Ross Tucker.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, see?
Oof. I can fight Ross Tucker.
And also, Ryan, you got to choose a side. It's like when married couples get divorced and the friends got to go, all right, I got to talk to one. Not saying that we got divorced from Dan, but you can't just, you know, jump over there and then come back here.
Well, I think I can.
Okay, maybe you can.
I think there's a peacock.
Some synergy.
Synergy there.
Okay.
NBC Sports, DirecTV, and AT&T in the past, right? Well, there's a lot of synergy
of
there.
We got a lot of love.
Yeah.
A lot of love.
Yeah. Our friend Sully, you know, used to be really close with those guys, and now he's kind of moved over to you guys.
Well, that's because he started kicking it with me and Brockman, you realize.
Well, he used to kick it a ton with, or he still does, with Andrew Perloff, but I guess Andrew Perloff's not with the Dan Patrick Show anymore. This is a lot of inside baseball for all you people listening.
This is how the sausage gets made.
This is how the sausage gets made.
There's a lot of football stuff happening, Ryan. There's a lot going on. Did you see the Bears news this morning? Rokon Smith wants out.
Yeah.
He's
had enough.
My brother lives in Chicago. His girlfriend works in the Bears facility, sells the suites and hospitality stuff like that.
Okay.
And whenever I'm there, I can just, and I felt this way with Nagy as the head coach. The Nagy situation seemed very lame duck to me. I don't think anybody out there thought Nagy was going to have the job going into this year. It's very similar, and we can get into this a little bit later, to the situation I think that's going on in Carolina with Matt Rhule. I really think there is a lame duck feeling to this season for Matt Rhule, because I don't know which quarterback's going to play. I am suspecting it's going to be Baker Mayfield. That defense is really good. He hasn't transitioned like people expected him to transition. He's still holding on to a lot of that college football head coach mentality, which doesn't play at the NFL level, right? It's a group of men now. You have a lot of control over the guys in a college environment. I mean, look at the greatest college coach of all time, Nick Saban, right? I mean, his tenure in the NFL was short, not very successful. And so those two scenarios are very similar to me. As for Chicago... Yeah, your best defensive player, alongside a guy by name Khalil Mack, who got traded this offseason.
Yep.
Now the other guy is saying to everybody, I want out. He's on a fifth-year option, right? This is big. Chicago is in a real situation for a team that has so much history and legacy in the NFL to really be a doormat in that division. I mean, if Campbell and Detroit find a way to find some semblance of success this year, and all of a sudden Chicago's at the very bottom of it. I mean, what does that mean to this team, and how do they go about it? I mean, they lose their best wide receiver in Robinson, right? They franchise tagged him. He got hurt, didn't work out. They sent him along. He's now in Los Angeles with the defending champions. Khalil Mack. I mean, Justin Fields is supposed to be the answer there, but if you don't have anybody around him at the NFL level, I don't care how great you are. Just look at the Cam Newton scenario. If you don't got guys around you, you can't be Cam Newton like he was in college at the NFL level. It's just too difficult. Too many great players.
If you can't be protected. Bears have one of the worst offensive lines in the league.
Yeah, this is interesting. It's always fun to hear players watch and see other players make money, get things done. We'll go to Cleveland with that too, with Kareem Hunt and that possible decision to do a hold in, but you know, Cleveland did not balk at that possibility. We're running backs have very little leverage, everybody. Very little leverage. All right. The most important position, the quarterback position, where they start, how they get to where they go, usually starts in the Elite 11, in the high school, the recruiting process. Five stars in the recruiting process. Our next guest, Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Network, is going to talk to us about his new book and all things five-star quarterback when we come back. You're listening to The Rich Eisen Show. We'll be right back.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf here, filling in for Rich Eisen. He's getting ready. This is his tune-up week to get right for NFL season after his days with the NFL Network at Canton. It's revving up. It's revving up. The quarterback position is the perfect position to talk about in our next segment here. Joining us, buddy of mine, I have to read this, Yogi, because this is I know Yogi well, so this makes me laugh a little bit. All right, Yogi Roth has been driven by the power of sports and story for over 20 years as an on-air college football analyst, Elite 11 coach, Emmy Award-winning filmmaker, and New York Times best-selling author. A former Pitt wide receiver and USC coach, he is also a motivational speaker, TV and event host, and world traveler. Veteran Elite 11 football scout and five-star quarterback co-author Joey Roberts is much more than his Instagram bio would suggest. He's a believer, a son, a grandson, a brother, a friend, I can attest to. Coach, yogi, seeker, and nerd. Welcome to the show, my friend, Yogi Roth. How are we doing this morning, buddy?
Man, when you say world traveler, I just think back to that time we were both in Bali. That's exactly where my head went, man. And now I get to talk to you here. I watch you on the show when you're in. And you know how I feel about you, man. I'm so pumped for everything you got going on.
A little story, side story here. My first game I ever called for the Pac-12 Network, you know, it was a big deal for me. And I get a text right before I'm about to go on air. And I look down, and it's from Yogi. And he just says, welcome to the family. Can't wait, and just gave me the best advice. And I've said it before on this show, and I've said it a lot to a lot of people. He said, be where your feet are. And it's very simplistic, but it's perfect. Be in the moment. Be where your feet are. And I wanted people to know that story about you, Yogi. Thank you so much, bud. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Anytime. I think when you broadcast, you get so amped, and you are so proud and excited for that game. And I remember just thinking, hey, I wish somebody maybe told me that before I did my first one. I was so amped up, and I remember tuning into the app and watching you, and look what you're doing now, man. You're kicking butt on so many fronts. It's awesome.
Yogi Roth, now the next question is, you're here in L.A. Why aren't you sitting in next to me in the studio right now as an in-studio guest? Are you just too busy, couldn't get away, kid, dad duty this morning?
No, I would have done it. I was told it was a phoner, so now I'm actually sitting at SC. I'm about to sit down with Caleb Williams after this interview to do a little sit down for my podcast, talk about his path. But I want to come check that out, man. I'm all in next time.
Bring it in. It's right down the street from you. I mean, it's in El Segundo. It's not too far from your stomping ground. So, good segue. Caleb Williams, right? Five-star recruit at Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley a year ago. He makes the transition, makes the move with the transfer portal with his head coach. You know, I think there's a lot of interest in USC simply because of all that. This team was a four-win team a year ago. a lot of expectations. Now, talk to us about Caleb Williams, and then maybe it can lead into your book, Five-Star Quarterback, and what it's been like to mentor and be around these great players over the last decade of your career.
Yeah, for sure, man. Caleb is a one percenter to me. He's really unique as a player, as a human, as a thought leader. He reminds me a lot at that age. I can remember when I met Jameis Winston when he was 17, when I met Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Tua Tagovailoa. There was all of them had something, a unique trait about them outside of just being able to pass. And everybody can do that in high school now. And he's proven to be that type of guy. I think when you talk to anybody on the staff here at SC, from when he arrived to now, here they are, week one of camp, almost concluding, it's his work ethic. I mean, he does it by example. He does not come out of, you know, the school of quarterbacks in terms of they're supposed to be 6'3" and a half and big, tall pocket passes. I mean, this guy is a dynamic player. He can do everything, and he can sit in the pocket and deal. So I'm excited. I think he's truly got the it factor, which I define as you walk into a room, people feel your presence, and you make them better. That's who he is. He's a guy who, first time he got to SC, his first job, he said, was to get to know everybody's name. From the walk-on to the equipment manager, to everybody in between, because he wanted to, you know, make people feel like he cared about them. And not just, hey, man, how you doing? Hey, what's up? But everything about him is purpose-driven. I think he's going to end up becoming the blueprint for huge recruits who are really talented as well and find success on how to manage expectation. So I'm pumped for him. And as I sit outside of their facility, I'm looking at the book that you referenced, Five Star QB, and his face is on the cover, along with 50-plus other quarterbacks. And the reason that we wrote this book was really twofold. One is that over the last 15-plus years doing Elite 11, parents and players are asking the same questions. And now the pressure is only intensifying. The money is only growing. The expectations are through the roof. Nobody knows how to deal with it, right? There's, you can't Google how to be a five-star player. You can't Google how to be a walk-on. You definitely can't Google how to be a parent of either one of those. So Joey and I sat together and we said, we got to create a book that will serve as a tribe of mentors for anybody going through this process. So whether it's a guy in college now or in the NFL now or in high school, Pop Warner now, or their families, we think this book, which is almost 600 pages, offers advice on everything you can dream of, from how to take a visit, what it's like to commit, to decommit, how do you deal with and manage mental health, how do you deal with women on campus, how do you, when you transfer, or you transfer twice, what is that process like, to what the realities around the NFL. And it's really fun, as we asked over 50 of these quarterbacks the same 20-plus questions to hear their feedback. So I'm looking at the cover, and it's Caleb Williams, Matt Barkley, Jimmy Clausen, Josh Rosen, up and down the list, Sam Ellinger, Will Greer. I mean, it's a who's who of quarterbacks that adorn that five-star ranking. And what we learned in our process was not one of them ever asked for it, but all of a sudden they got thrust into a spotlight. And that's why the cover, my last point, the cover is their faces, because I want fans to see their faces. And all too often when a quarterback commits to a school, you see their YouTube highlights, you see their arm, you see their ranking, but you often forget that there's a human in there. And while the pressures continue to grow, and Ryan, you know this better than anybody, the development of a 19-year-old is pretty much the same across the board. Like, your brain is still developing. You're trying to figure out how to deal with this thing. And that's why in the book we added not only quarterback answers, but 40 ambassadors of the game. Helsinki family, offering their advice. Brenda Tracy, offer your advice. Mike Gervais, the psychologist, offer your advice. Pete Carroll, Dan Lanning, Lincoln Riley, David Shaw, Jed Fish, Ryan Day, all the people that I really admire in the coaching and football world, to say, give these guys a roadmap. Give them just one thing to take away. And that's what this book is, man. It is, it's one of one right now. And I think it's going to be really cool to, you know, for a player and their family to dig through and be like, you know, I got a question about this. Go to chapter 8 and talk about recruiting or whatever it may be.
I feel like, you know, when I go around the country and speak, and parents come and ask me about when they have a child that's super into sports and is athletic and is getting a lot of notice. I love now that there's, you know, you're right. There's just, unless you've experienced it, you really can't speak to it. And to have a resource like this will be huge, I think, for parents, right? I have a 4.5-year-old. At some point, he's going to, you know, realize some athletic you know, level of success, and I want to be able to give him the best advice. And so I appreciate you putting together doing something like this. Talk to us a little bit about the Elite 11 counselor aspect of this. You've been doing it for a long, long time. You watch how this process is built and built and built, and how it's become a huge part of the recruiting process and giving guys a leg up when they have the opportunity to go to the collegiate level.
Yeah, I love Elite 11 on many fronts. The guy who founded it, his name is Andy Bark. I met Andy Bark in 1999 when he kicked off the Nike camps, which anybody from that era on is familiar with. You'd go to campuses around the country or venues around the country, and you'd have a free camp to showcase your skill. Andy started it because he wanted everybody to have somewhat of a level playing field, you know, whether you're the son of an elite quarterback or whether, you know, nobody in your family ever played the sport. But just show up and see how you compete. And meeting him then and then being around him at SC when I was coaching, he was always around, and then working for him at the Elite 11, it's been one of my life's joys, man, because I get to meet these young men at 16. So whether that's Bo Nix or Jared Goff or Christian Hackenberg, I mean, you can go up and down the list. It's kind of the who's who of QBs. And they are told prior to camp how great they are. That's all they're told, Ryan, and you know this. And when they get there, what I found to be overwhelmingly common is all they want to do is let their guard down and get some help, get some guidance. Every time I listen to these quarterbacks talk in the media prior to us meeting them, they sound like political figures, right? They're just saying all the right, what they think is the right stuff, cliche central. And I say, you're more than a ranking, man. You're more than an Elite 11 quarterback. You've got a story. You've got a heartbeat. You've got a soul. Let's tap into that and help share it. So I say that with the Elite 11, and now Trent Dilfer's been the head coach for over a decade, and our staff is awesome all across the country. What we really take the most pride in, like football, that's easy. Like we kill that quarterback development side of it. But we call it beyond the X's and O's, where we dive into offering them up with tools to deal with all the pressures. So whether that's now NIL, right? We had Jaden Rashada in this year the day after he reportedly was getting like $9 million to go to Miami, right? Like, you need a tool to deal with that. You can't just turn your phone off. And that's what our sessions would be about. Whether you name the topic, whether it's media training, mindset training, XO on the board, you know, outside of life, how do you deal with finances? How do you deal with NIL? We'll bring in the CEO of Open Doors. Like, we're trying to pour in a 48 to 72 hour window as much as possible. And I love it because when guys come back, because they always come back as counselors, whether it's EJ Manuel or Mark Sanchez or, you know, all the top guys in the country usually come back and coach them up. Like this year it was Caleb. It was Bryce Young. It was CJ Stroud. It was Dorian Thompson Robinson. And it was Devin Leary at NC State. They just rave about their experience that they went through it, and they pour back into the group. And it's a sick little, you know, community of, hey, how do we pour back into the position? How do we pour back into people? And my role is really to do that over the course of those days. But then when their careers are over, you wouldn't be surprised, but other people might be surprised at the amount of young men that I talk to and mentor when they walk away from the game.
Right.
Those are the calls I get of like, hey, thinking about getting married. Hey, I don't know how to deal with not playing. Hey, I just got out of rehab. Hey, I just got out of a tough situation in life. Hey, I'm going to quit my job because I want to do X, Y, and Z. And that's where I love that part of it, because it says to me and our staff that at 16 we had somewhat of an impact.
That's wonderful to hear. Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, college football analyst and author of the new book, Five Star Quarterback. All right, before I let you go here, I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about what has transpired with the Pac-12 conference this offseason, right? UCLA and USC, of course, transitioning in 2 years to the Big Ten. What does that mean for the current conference, the 10 remaining teams? Where do we sit after the news yesterday that came out that the Big Ten may be not utilizing in their media rights deal ESPN? And how is that going to benefit the Pac-12 in their media rights negotiations with George Kliavkov?
Yeah, good question, man. I think all of us will remember where we were the day that news dropped. I was literally interviewing CJ Stroud's mom, Kimberly, and Bryce Young.
I was on the radio. I was on Pac-12 Network when we were doing it.
Totally.
Yeah.
You're like, holy, you know what, right? And I remember looking at my phone, and I was like, oh, my God, it kept blowing up. And I was like, are my kids okay? Is my wife okay? And then I saw, like, oh, man, is our conference okay? And I did like everybody. You went through the 5 days of you know, anxiety, depression, anger, sadness, all the stages of grief. But then you came out of it, and this is what I love. You reference our commissioner. I'm such a fan of George Kliavkov's leadership skills and his traits and how he's not only held this thing together, but every AD and people I talk to continues to say the same line, which is we're going to emerge. And I think we are. Now, we're going to emerge differently. You know, we're not going to have this market necessarily, but will we have more teams? Maybe. Will we have brands continue to grow and strengthen? Yes. Do we still have 10 teams that I think, you know, top to bottom, if you take out the few elite teams in the country, I think our collective 10 could go compete against anybody. I say it every single year. And you call games in this league, there's great diversity of scheme. We still sit number three every single year in NFL draft picks. So it's not like our teams are going to roll up and quit. And I love the unity that every school has said. Regarding the media rights, to me what's been interesting about all this is like every football analyst has become a media rights expert. And I'm not that. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that the games are going to be on television, I hope, and I hope I get to do it for 20 more years and have the honor to call the games of these 10 schools and whomever else we may add or wherever that goes. But I don't know what's going to net out. I mean, I read the same thing you read. It would seemingly see that Fox is probably out of the Pac-12 conversation. And I'd imagine ESPN is largely in the Pac-12 conversation. But I don't know, man. I don't know how that stuff works. The thing I'm most jacked about now is going to training camps. Because I do think amid all this, all we talked about was rights deals and realignment and all this stuff that you and I have zero say in.
Right.
And I just made the decision. I was like, I'm going to double down on stories. I'm going to kick butt this year, telling stories, celebrating the game, coaching the viewer, period. Like, that's what I'm going to do. Because that's where I get the most joy. I don't like talking about this other stuff because I don't know it.
Right.
Right. I'm an expert in the game. So that's how I netted out of, like, I'm going to have a great mindset walking into the season. George will lead our rights to an amazing place. I think our schools will remain united. And I think our league's going to do really well. I love the talent this year in the league coming back. I think we have the best group of quarterbacks in the country. I'd put our top six, if not even more, against any other league top six quarterbacks. And there's a lot of reasons why. So, yeah, man, I don't know what'll net out, but I'm excited for the future. Definitely not where I was when that news dropped at the end of June.
Yogi Roth, everybody, Pac-12 Network, college football analyst, author of the new book, 5-Star Quarterback. Hey, thanks for taking time this morning with me, bud. I really appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, bro, anytime. Next time it's in person.
Yes.
Come on,
yes,
man.
Yes. All right. We'll get on that. That's my bad.
Ryan,
hang on, Yogi. Stick around for a second. What's that?
Hey, Yogi, just real quick. I know that you went to Pitt, and I also spent a lot of time in Oakland. Just wondering, you were roommates with Larry Fitzgerald. What was Larry like back in the days? Like, what was his mindset and his mentality when you guys were living together at Pitt?
Yeah, he was impressive. I mean, they put us together because they were basically like, Yogi, teach him the playbook so he could take your job, which is exactly what happened. Quite honestly, probably, you know, the first full padded practice, he probably took that thing over. But I love telling this story about Larry of game one of his freshman year. We had to wear a suit to the game. But after the game, he got to wear a warm-up jacket and kind of that thing. And the game ends, and he puts his suit and tie on. And I went over to Larry, and I said, hey, man, you know, that was that big brother model for him. So you don't have to wear your suit. You can wear your warm-up jacket. And he goes, no. People are going to know what I'm about from day one. And I say that, and I say it to high school players all the time and college players, of he knew exactly what it meant to be a pro from you know, not necessarily the day he got on campus. He knew before he even got to college. And that, to me, was such a mindset that trickled over to everything. He was always in the facility, always in the training room, always in the weight room, always in the film room, always trying to learn, always watching cut-ups. I mean, that was his craft. And I can remember to this day the day he left early. Because remember, he left after 2 years because he did a year at a prep school. So he was 3 years out of high school. And I remember going up to him and saying, why are you leaving? And I'm this naive 21-year-old kid. Like, stick around. Team's going to be awesome next year. And he goes, hey, you go to college to put yourself in the best position for your future, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer or an athlete. I'm never going to get drafted higher than where I'm projected now. I feel like I'm ready. I'm going to go. And when he said that to me, like, so many things clicked around the craft and the sport and him as a pro, you know, prior to even being a quote-unquote pro. he was amazing. And I'll say this to this day, he still stays in touch with not only me, but so many of our teammates, everybody in the receiver room. He's as humble of a guy as I've met for being a first ballot Hall of Famer, that's for sure.
Yogi Roth, everybody, Pac-12 Network, college football analyst. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon, bud.
Yeah, you got it, bro. Later.
Yogi Roth, you can get his book, Five Star Quarterback, is available now for purchase via Amazon.com. For more information on Five Star Quarterback, visit www.5-starqb.com for updates and to connect with Yogi at www.yogiroth.com. You guys have heard me talk about, you know, people who supported me into this broadcasting world and, mm-hmm. you know, Brady Quinn and Joel Klatt, Kirk Herbstreit, Greg McElroy, all those guys let me shadow them during that year, wondering whether if I was wanted to do this, if I could be any good at it. Yogi Roth was one of those guys, too. He's led at Pac-12 Network. He's been there from the moment it started. Has been a guiding force for that network through this process and for me. So it was great to hear him talk about some of the things that he's got to experience. That book, that's going to be a big deal for parents who are dealing with situational things when you got an athlete such as the likes of Caleb Williams, right? And what happens then when you navigate that when you transfer colleges somewhere else? Like, what is that? You don't ask to be a five-star. Best thing that ever happened to me probably, stars didn't exist when I was getting recruited. Right. So no one knew. When I got to college, there was no expectation. I could sit for a year in red shirt and not be expected, if I don't play right away, to be the guy. Right. There are a ton of expectations on those guys when you have those stars next to your name coming out of high school. So appreciate him and what he's bringing to the table. We're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, talk a little bit about what I've done this summer. Got an experience, something pretty cool that comes with a great story that involves Terrell Owens. And I hope everybody really enjoys those stories, don't we? All right. When we come back to the Rich Eisen Show, I'm Ryan Leaf. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Rich Eisen Show. Ryan Leaf filling in for Rich alongside TJ Jefferson, Michael Del Tufo, woo, Mr. Chris Brockman here Power with me. Give us a call. 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424 if you want to talk about anything that we are discussing today. Some big news out of New York. Chris Brockman, what do we got with the Jets?
Yeah, bad news for the Jets. Yesterday, Mekhi Becton kind of went down and was limping off the field. It did not look good, but they were optimistic. More bad news today, though. Mekhi Becton has suffered an avulsion fracture of the right kneecap. He's going to see a second opinion tomorrow, but he is likely out for the year. That's the second straight year now, Mekhi Becton, the gigantic left tackle for the Jets. We'll have missed, and that's obviously bad news for the Jets, the bad news for Zach Wilson. How do you read this situation, Ryan?
We were on NFL radio last night on Sirius XM when I was when this news kind of broke and how they thought it might be a little worse than expected. A guy that size.
Oh, just massive individual.
Just the massive the mass to somebody like that. Injuries are compounded. Unfortunately, for a guy who's incredibly powerful, like it's a huge loss. They asked me to kind of place on a hierarchy of where it is in terms of disappointment, and it's big. He was going to be a big part of shoring up that offensive line, because if he's not able to protect Zach Wilson in his second year, Zach Wilson is not going to be able to utilize all those weapons that they've placed around him now out there. So you hope that this doesn't diminish the product much, but when you look at the size, the strength, the athleticism of a guy like that, this is going to be a difficult mountain to climb now with the process. They already, you know, had unrealistic expectations on this team, I believe. It's still the Jets. We've talked about this before, right? You know, year two into the three-year ritual they have every year or every 3 years, right? New head coach, new quarterback, and you know, boom, boom, boom.
But I think it was okay, and you know, certainly warranted to have some expectations this year.
Yes.
Second year, Zach Wilson did show some promise kind of near the end, loaded with offensive weapons. Second year, Robert Saleh, good defense. I think it was okay for them to think maybe we could go 7-10 or 8-9, but this is a huge loss.
It is. It's a big loss. It's a big loss. So
Dwayne Brown's got to be on line one, right?
Yes, he was there. He was there for the white and green game the other day. Yeah. You know, guy started all 17 weeks last year. He's been a mainstay. He's old.
He's older.
He's older.
Yeah.
He's older, right? He's not, you know, 46
NFL.
Or anything
NFL
like that.
Old.
I do think, though, you know, if there are some general managers out there need a guy that come in to kind of chase Daniel it this year, I could do that.
You need a camp arm?
Yeah, I could throw in camp, and then I could be there for the entirety of the year and just be there. I don't even have to be the backup. I could be the third string guy, could be there to help anybody along, you know, throw during practices.
Which
and stuff
team
like that.
Was it that just basically paid, was it Josh
McNown?
McCown?
I believe it was Philadelphia.
To be the fourth guy. Like, to just, like, stay at home, you're on standby in case something happens.
Yeah, I'll do that for $1 million.
I think that's a bargain,
right?
Really.
I mean, if my agent does a good job, maybe I'll get Athletes First as my agent, you know, and I'll get 10 times more than I probably should with the stuff. Okay. All right.
Plan.
Story time. Story time with Ryan.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So this summer, I got a call from a friend of mine to ask me to participate in something really cool, right? It was the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson going into the major leagues. And they were putting together a celebrity softball tournament or softball game at Jackie Robinson Stadium there at UCLA. And he asked me to be a part of it, and I just thought that was incredibly cool. I got to meet Jackie's granddaughters, the foundation that puts it on, Nike, and everybody stood up to put this event on. There were celebrities such as Lil Wayne, who was a part of it. That was pretty cool. He was on my team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, there we are. He was a lot shorter than I thought he was. We all got to wear Dodgers uniforms with the number 42 and Robinson on the back. It was an unbelievable night. As in anything, when it comes to competition, I go a little bit over the top, right? I have to compete at everything. It's been a curse of mine my whole life, right? So I took this really seriously. You know, I wanted to play every inning, and like our coach, who was TJ Houshmandzadeh, was like, "Dude, you can't play every inning." I wanted to play shortstop, and I wanted to, but they did ask me to be the home run derby participant from our team. We were the white team versus the blue team, and the blue team's participant. There's one. There's a bomb right there. The blue team's participant was none other than. There we go. That's a bomb. Terrell Owens was my competition.
Okay. All right.
Now, before we get into this story around the Home Run Derby, there is a backstory to Terrell Owens, okay? So how many years ago was it again that he got inducted into the Hall of Fame? Like 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, 3-4, something like that. He famously did not show up to Canton.
Right. And then this bears out the story here, okay? So I was hosting one of my whatever shows on Sirius XM or on the Rich Eisen show, who knows? But I was, when the news broke that he was inducted, and he said, "I'm not going to Canton. I'm not doing it." Right? You didn't vote me in as a first team you didn't vote me in as first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right?
You know, you've been against me from the start. All these things. There was a ton of resentment there, and for somebody who has had a ton of resentment for many years around things and how it's disappointed me because I made wrong choices and wrong decisions, I spoke about it. I was like, "T.O., don't do this, man. Please don't do this. Go show up. You will not believe what that Saturday will be like in Canton. Everybody there to celebrate you. You deserve this, right? You deserve this opportunity for how great you were as an NFL player. Mm-hmm. Please don't do this." Well, somehow it must have gotten back to him that I think I probably tweeted about it too. So it was an issue. I didn't think anything of it. You know, we do this all the time, right? We talk about stuff on the show. Well, I'm at Reggie Bush's celebrity golf tournament a couple weeks later down in Del Mar, and I'm getting my golf clubs out of my bag, or getting my golf clubs out of my trunk of my car, and all of a sudden I see this guy sauntering over to me. Big dude. I look up, it's T.O., and he's coming right at me.
Oh.
And I'm still on parole at the time, right? I'm like, I'm going to go. T.O. comes to me and Will Smiths me pretty much and says, "Keep my name out your, M mouth." And then was just standing over to me. I'm like, I'm going to have to fight T.O. in the parking lot of the Del Mar Country Club. And I'm going back to jail. I mean, I really was. I'm like, I'm not going to touch him. Hopefully I won't get it. But I'm going back to jail because of this. Because I said that you should have went to the Hall of Fame. And I'm just looking at him. I'm going, dude, do we have to fight each other? And he's just kind of standing there with his glasses on, just, you know, huffing and puffing. And I'm like, luckily for me, he just one more time told me to keep his name out of his mouth and go away.
Oh, my gosh.
And he did. And I hadn't thought about it much afterwards, the fact that there always was something that was a bit traumatic. But it was announced he was on the team for the opposing team. And I remember calling the guy that invited me. I'm like, you know, last time I saw T.O., he tried to fight me. Is this a possibility? Is this really a possibility? Because I don't need to be getting in any trouble at all here. Long story short, we go in, we battle each other in the home run derby. You know, there's a trophy of me holding the home run derby championship trophy here. So we'll leave it at that. Said no words. Congratulated him on a good performance. But the
that's my quarterback.
That's my quarterback.
He didn't say that.
That's weird.
The bus beat the Hall of Famer that day, so it was a lot of fun.
That is
story time with Ryan. All right, when we come back,
I'm on probation.
I was. I'm like, I'm on parole. Like, if I'm gonna go back to jail because T.O. because I got in a fight with T.O. in a parking lot.
Imagine man, telling that story.
Like a TMZ dream headline.
Yeah, please.
Oh, man.
Like you made their day.
When we come back, Lance Leipold, head football coach at Kansas. I'm Ryan Lee, filling in for Rich here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll be right back. So,
could you just imagine fantastic. The TMZ Sports alert right. that like, went out about that?
I mean, it was the Will Smith thing. He didn't slap me, but
did he touch you at all?
No, he just stood there, and I'm, you know. I was probably 275. Like, I mean,
how long ago was this? I missed the date.
This was 3 years ago, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, right when he got inducted. I couldn't believe it was happening.
You were bigger back then.
I was bigger, but I wasn't healthier or fitter. Like if we had to get into a three round fight, I wasn't lasting 20 seconds.
T.O.
right?
Was always shredded, no matter what.
No matter
24/7, 365.
I have no misconceptions. I get my tail whooped. Don't get me wrong, right?
Yeah.
But still, it's a fight, and I'm the one who's on parole.
So, it's not good for you.
So it's not good for me.
It would have been bad. It would have been bad.
You know, I've had to walk away from a ton of confrontations with people over the last 7 years because I'm like, I'm not going back.
Yeah, because someone's always going to want to test you.
By the way, Rod, your swing, you look like you give us a couple games.
I like it. Me and the kid went to the batting cage a couple days before just to make sure to get back into it. My little 4.5-year-old's hitting slow pitch softball, hit with a bat and knocking it around the. I'm like, oh, okay.
Because he's 4 and he's 6'3". We've already established that.
Yeah.
Remember, T.O. fought Hugh Douglas in the Eagles locker room.
Hugh Douglas? Wow.
Before a game, right?
Who won that?
And I have not been in many fights. Like, early on, there was a kid back home that we used to play sports with down the block. He was the only kid I think I could beat up. I knew I could beat up, so that's the only guy I ever got in a fight with. Like everybody else, I knew I would get beat up, so I refrained, right? And then when I was in college, I just had all my old linemen. So I poke the bear, and then I just kind of run back and let my old linemen deal with it, right? So, it was an interesting story. So that I was just worried. I'm like, is he going to try to fight me again? You know, should I be prepared for that? Should I play in this game? Should I put myself in this situation? But no, he's matured.
Did he acknowledge you at the home run derby?
No, he did not acknowledge me once.
Okay.
One time he popped one up and I was playing catcher and I went to catch it and he ran right at me and like three feet away, almost ran into me when I was catching the ball. It was very dangerous.
With the bat?
Well, he was the bat in his hand, but he's running right by me, you know, like trying to spook me to not catch the ball, right?
Jeez.
Shocking. Shocking, revolutions here.
Shocking, not shocking.
All right. We'll be back here on the Rich Eisen Show with Lance Leipold, Kansas football coach.